go forward now in the way we hope to. So good morning, everybody. Sit down. There aren't any real notices, except I do bring a special hello from Jane from Bethany, because she's having to isolate again. And she sent me an email and she said, I'm missing everybody and I just wanted to say hello. So that's hello from Jane. And also, thank you ever so much to everybody for all the donations for Baby Basics. There's a lovely lot at the back of the church there, all boxed up. I've been in contact with the coordinator and she's asked if somebody is willing and able to take them over to Wollaston. That's where their storage space is. So I am looking for a volunteer. It has to be between 10 and 2 on a Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday. So if you are able to, that would be brilliant. If you're not, don't worry, because I can take them away and I can hold on to them until... Oh, thanks, Stein. Thanks. Great. Later. And then all I need to do is hand over to Paul, who really needs no introduction. So thank you.
Mary, well, good morning, everybody. We were just saying that, technology is a blessing and a curse at the same time, isn't it? It's good when it works, but a bit of a curse when it doesn't. So I can't believe that the opening verse I'm going to read to you today is this, which kind of sets the theme in a way for our service this morning. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 32. It says, ask now about the former days, long before your time, from the day God created human beings on the earth. Ask from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything so great as this ever happened? Or has anything like it ever been heard of? And we must remember that we worship a God who is faithful, who has an impeccable track record, and who will look after us through our days, right to the very end of time. So we're going to sing about God's faithfulness in our first song today, which is number 147, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Recording in progress. Together to worship this morning. Father God, you are a faithful God.
One who created the heavens
and the earth, from the stars into space, created, Lord, the trees and the flowers and all the things, Father, that we see day and night. And Father, most of all, you created each one of us, that we are your children, Lord, the fruit of your creation. And we thank you that we're able to enjoy, Father, all the things that you have given to us. Can we just take a moment, Lord, to thank you and with us, Jesus. And what you have done for us. And Father, we thank you for that greatest gift that you have given to us, the gift of your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we worship him today. We thank you that Jesus is our Saviour, that he's the reason that we're gathered here in Kingthorpe today. And we just pray, Lord, that we might hear the voice of Jesus speaking to us. We might know, Lord, his Spirit with us today, warming our hearts, challenging us, Lord, bringing us closer to you. We just pray, Lord, that we might know you more and more today as we meet together in this way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join together and say that prayer that our Saviour taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be
your name.
Thy kingdom come.
Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins.
And lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory,
forever and ever. Amen.
I don't know about you, I very often kind of look back at the good old days. Times in the olden days, you know, when I talk to my grandchildren about the olden days, they kind of marvel at some of the things we used to do, you know, and some of the things that, you know, we did in when we were little. And, you know, it's easy, isn't it, I think, when we look back at our lives and we look back at some of the things that we used to do, it seems like a completely different world back then somehow, doesn't it? You know, things have changed a lot. You know, we were talking this morning about technology and, you know, how in some ways it's enhanced our lives, but in other ways it's had a bit of a detrimental effect, hasn't it, on the way that we live our lives as well. But I want us just to think this morning that, you know, we need to think of the times
when about God and about the way that God's laws and God's teaching is the thing that lasts and lasts forever, doesn't it? I'm sure many of us went to Sunday school many years ago, and there's lots of things I bet we remember from our Sunday school days that we still remember now, and things that our teachers used to teach us. So we're here today to remember, I think, God's word, and to remember the track record and the faithfulness that God has through the ages. You know, we only have to look back at particularly through the Old Testament and some of the things and the way that God looked after and protected his people, the way he led them out of Egypt, through the wilderness into the promised land, the way that he kept them safe during the time of their exile into Babylon. You know, and the way he protected Jesus, didn't he? You know, from the tyranny of Herod, and kept him and able to bring him to that time when he was able to go upon that cross and to be the saviour of the world. So as we're entering this new year today, let's just give thanks for God and his faithfulness and his track record. You know, he's the one, isn't it, that has brought us to the place we are today. Mary reminded us at Deacons on Tuesday that next year, this church is going to be 200 years old. You can't believe it, can you? You know, that Kingsthorpe Baptist Church was founded in 1823. You know, it's a long, long time ago. But God has been faithful to us, and we just pray that God will continue to be faithful to us and that we'll continue to be faithful to him as we move forward into this next year. Amen. I'm going to ask Mary now to come up and read to us from Luke and chapter 3.
Thank you. I'm reading from Luke chapter 3, verse 15 onwards. People's hopes began to rise, and they began to wonder whether John might be the Messiah. So John said to them, to all of them, "I baptize you with water, but somebody is coming who is much greater than I am. I'm not good enough even to untie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He has his winnowing shovel with him to thresh out all the grain and gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn the chaff in the fire that never goes out." After all the people had been baptized, Jesus also was baptized. While he was praying, heaven was opened. The Holy Spirit came down upon him in bodily form like a dove. And the voice came from heaven, "You are my own dear son, and I am pleased with you." Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you, Mary. We're going to see again now, and it's number 215 in your books. I heard the voice of Jesus say, 215. Thank you. going to read to you now some words from the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was a prophet that lived at the time of the exile, and part of Jeremiah's message, his prophecy, was to warn the Israelites of their impending exile into captivity, into Babylon, and the fall of Jerusalem that happened at that time. So the words that I'm going to read need to be just understood in that context. Just a few verses from Jeremiah and chapter 6. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. I appointed watchmen over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But you said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear, you nations, you who are witnesses, observe what will happen to them. Hear you, O earth, I am bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their schemes, because they have not listened to my words and have rejected my law. We just ask God to add his blessing to those words. Before we think about those words that I've just read, we're going to sing again, this time number 40 in your books, Be Still, for the Presence of the Lord is Here, number 40. I'm sure at Christmas time you had a lot of presents that were new.
Just before I had this morning, it was a new jumper. My daughter brought it for me, and first day today, we're in the park. Let's take a look at it. It was a
I've spilt a bit or whatever. So there you go. But you see, the thing is, you know, as soon as you buy a car, isn't it, you take it off the forecourt, it loses its value, and it loses its novelty value, doesn't it, after that? You know, I'm sure children have had toys this Christmas that they've played with and have now broken, or they're fed up with it, or have put it to one side. We almost have an obsession nowadays, don't we, about new things. You know, the number of young people that want the latest mobile phone, or the latest gadget, or the latest pair of trainers, anything that's old or unfashionable or anything, you know, that's not very cool, you know, it's not very on trend or whatever the thing is. You know, I've decided, you know, it's pointless trying to keep up with fashion. You've just got to feel and go as you feel, don't you, I think? And I think the older you get, that's the way you tend to go. You know, I've given up on all of that. But, you know, nothing really, when you think about it, is really new, isn't it? About 3,000 years ago, Solomon, King Solomon, wrote these words in Ecclesiastes. He said, there is nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new under the sun. And, you know, for all of the things that sort of get invented and the new things that we think of, you know, really, there's nothing new at all. I thought today, the lectionary reading actually was the one that Mary did about John the Baptist, but I thought we'd had enough of John the Baptist during Advent actually. So I thought we'd have a look at these words this morning, which I think are appropriate ones for as we approach a new year, where we're kind of on the cusp, aren't we? Where we're kind of a bit of looking back on things that have gone in the past and looking to the future, where things are going to happen as we move forward. And I want to look at verse 16, and it says this. It says, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it. Ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it. And when Jeremiah prophesied these words, the response he got from the people that he was prophesying to was, we will not walk in it. You know, we're not interested, thank you very much. You know, people don't want to know about the ancient things, the tried and trusted things. So what's this passage telling us? The first thing I think we need to do is we need to question
the new ways. You know, very often people like new things, don't they? You know, over the last 100 years, we've seen new advances in technology,
but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. So what happened? They ate of the tree of the fruit of good and evil, didn't they? You know, God told them to do one thing, and they did exactly the opposite. You know, man has always try to be equal with God, hasn't he? To be the creator, the one who's got all the good ideas and everything. You know, when we look at the world today, you know, for all of the things that have been invented and all the developments that have happened, you know, I think the world is in a worse place than it is than it was previously. You know, it's frightening, isn't it, really, when we look back over particularly the last 50 years or so, how things have changed, and, you know, how some of the laws and things that have been introduced that, you know, really concern us as Christians, things, you know, like, marriage and euthanasia and things like that. There's lots of things, isn't it, that concern us as Christians that, you know, are supposed to make things better, but actually are going in the opposite direction. You know, things are moving further and further away from God. And it makes you wonder, doesn't it, really, how things are going to end. You know, man is rebelling, continually rebelling against what God wants, rejecting the ancient paths. So, are the ancient paths worth striving for? Jeremiah says this, he says, stand, this is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look. Stand at the crossroads and look. And I'm sure all of us have crossroads in our life, times when we have decisions that we want to make. You know, should we do this or should we do that? Should we go that way or should we go that? And of course, decisions at crossroads in our life are very often difficult to make, aren't they? It's not clear cut whether we should do this or whether we should do that. And what about you? You know, when I see crossroads standing at the junction of a road, you can never be sure whether they're actually pointing in the right direction or not, can you? There's a Baptist church in Kettering, actually, and there's a sign on the other side of the road that points to the Baptist church in Kettering. It says Baptist church on it. But some clever wag has turned the sign the other way around, so it points at the Working Men's Club now, which is across the road. So, you know, you just cannot rely on the road signs, can you? We need to be looking, I think, at, you know, when we have decisions to make, when we're looking as to which way we should go, we're continually inquiring of God, looking at the direction that we need to be going. You know, you look back through the Old Testament, so many of the kings of Israel went wrong because they didn't inquire of the Lord. You know, we do need to constantly be referring back to God as to what we should be doing and which direction that we should be going in. It's an ancient path, isn't it? It's a well-trodden path. It's got a good track record on it. You know, we need to think of those people in the Bible that constantly looked back to God to help them to know which direction, the way that they should take. You know, we must never write anything off as ancient, must we? You know, people today think God is old-fashioned, think the church is old-fashioned. It's irrelevant. It's out of date. It doesn't apply to them. But we know that God is anything but old-fashioned. You know, he's the one who will guide us in the right direction. And God's given us today prophets like Jeremiah. You know, our leaders, our teachers, our evangelists, they're the ones that have been given the responsibility of interpreting the Bible and helping people to understand and to look at which way that we should be moving in. You know, it's easy, isn't it, to think that, you know, we should singing a few modern songs or, you know, doing this or that is the way forward. But the bottom line is, are we preaching the word of God? That's what we're there for, isn't it? You know, Jesus, the last words Jesus said when he left this earth was, go and preach and make disciples of people. You know, that's our mission, isn't it? That's what we're here to do. We need to make sure we're getting back to the basics of what God commands us to do. So God says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. God says, ask for the ancient paths. Ask for the ancient paths. You know, how many times do we actually ask God for direction? I must admit, I don't like asking people for directions. You know, I'd rather get lost, I would, than embarrass myself and say, now, which way is it to the so-and-so? Sandra always says to me, look, for goodness sake, ask somebody. You know, we don't just sit there and get lost. Ask somebody. You know, we're often too proud, aren't we, to ask. We think we can work things out on our own. You know, that reading that Mary read a few moments ago, the people thought that John the Baptist was the Messiah, wasn't he? But, you know, John had to say, well, look, no, hang on, I'm not the Messiah. This is the Messiah. This is the one that you need to look to. But we mustn't only ask for the way, we must also listen for the answer. And take on board the answer. Not like you do when you go abroad. You know, you ask somebody in French what the way to the station is, and then they tell you back in French, and you haven't got a clue what the hell they actually said to you. Jeremiah says, I appointed watchmen over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But you said, we will not listen. And Jeremiah is saying, it's important that you listen for the answer, listen for the sound of the trumpet. And in those days, the sound of the trumpet was very often a warning sign. You know, we need to listen out for the warning signs. That famous verse in John's Gospel where Jesus is talking about Jesus being the good shepherd. And he says this, he says, the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate and the sheep listen to the shepherd's voice. You know, there's lots of confusing voices around today, isn't there? You know, very often we listen to the wrong things, or we listen to the wrong people, or we listen to the wrong advice. But God wants us to listen to his voice today. You know, and I believe in the world in which we live today, hearing God's voice is the most important thing that we need to do as individuals and as a church. You know, we've got some important decisions, haven't we, to make, both Methodists and Baptists, and we need to seek God's will as to how we move forward. And we need to inquire of God to find out, you know, what his plans are for us. And finally, Jeremiah says, walk in the good way. Take the right path. Take the good path. Take the advice that I'm giving to you. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And walk in it. You know, as Christians, we constantly need to be looking for the good paths. You know, we need to be asking God's guidance through prayer, through our reading of the Bible, when we come together as a fellowship and to seek God's guidance and to come to those various crossroads. We constantly need to be inquiring of God and what he would have us to do. Because Jeremiah says that the good path leads to peace and contentment. He says in verse 16, he says, and you will find rest for your souls. You'll find rest for your souls. You know, are we walking with God along the right path today? You know, that's the question that as Christians, as believers, we need to be asking ourselves. Do you remember the story of Enoch and It's said, isn't it, in Genesis, that Enoch was a person that walked with God. He walked with God. And he went out one day and he walked with God, and he just carried on walking with God. He's one of the few people in the Bible that there's no recorded death of. He just continued walking with God. What a great picture that is. You know, are we Christians, the people that are walking with God? Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. Amen. Now, I've chosen a video of a song. Graham brought this to my attention at our Wednesday prayer meetings a few months ago, actually, and I thought it was very appropriate. It's called Ancient Words. So let's just listen and enjoy the song.
For our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us grow. Thank you.
We're going to just have a short time now of prayer. Particularly need to think of Barbara, I think, in hospital at the moment, and I'm sure there are others that we can think of. And we'll just have a time during the time of prayer where people want to just silently remember folk that they're concerned about, they can do so. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for that reminder that we need to listen to the ancient words, and we pray, Lord, that we will come to you today with open hearts, ready to receive what it is that you want us to listen to, and more importantly, Lord, what it is you want us to do, the direction that you want us to take. Father, we're very conscious that we're living in a world, Lord, where people just don't want to know you, where people have turned their backs on you. A world, Lord, where people have not only turned their backs on you, but are actively going against you, Lord, doing things, Father, that you definitely don't want to happen. Rebelling, Lord, against your word, against your commands. And Lord, as Christians, we just stand back sometimes and look at what's going on and really seem quite helpless, Lord, to know what to do and how to respond and the things, Lord, that we need to be doing. And so we just pray this morning, Father, that we might be a people that are true to your word, that we might follow, Lord, your commands, Lord, not only in the Bible, Father, but through the things, Lord, that you tell us, through preaching, through prayer, just through coming together, Father, that, Lord, we might hear your prophetic word in this dark age in which we live. We pray, Father, for our fellowships and for the challenges, Lord, that are meeting both Baptists and Methodists in these coming months and years. Challenges, Lord, about finances, about buildings, about ministry. We just pray, Lord, that you might just indicate to us what you want us to do, the direction in which you want us to go. Make sure, Lord, that we inquire of you before we make a wrong move. We pray for wisdom, Father. We pray for your guidance. We pray too, Lord, for the people, Lord, within our fellowships. We just thank you, Lord, that we're not in this alone, that you've given us other people, Lord, to help us, to support us, that we might love and just build each other up. We think, Father, of those who are unwell at the moment. Think of those, Lord, in hospitals, such as Barbara. We pray, Father, for her and for others, Lord, who are separated from their loved ones in a hospital ward. We just pray for them. We pray for those who are treating them as well, Father, for the doctors and the nurses, and for all those, Lord, who are doing what they can to restore them to health. We pray, Lord, for those who are going through difficult times at this moment. Those, Lord, that we know, those, Father, that we perhaps only know distantly, or perhaps we've just heard about somebody, Lord, we just pray for them. Just take a moment, Father, to just bring before you those perhaps in our families, in our workplace, in this church, Lord, who just need your touch at this time. And finally, Lord, we ask you to speak to us individually. Lord, you know where we are with you at the moment, whether we are actually walking along the right road with you. Father, perhaps we've just stopped to have a rest at the minute. Perhaps we've wandered off the path altogether. Perhaps we're going in the wrong direction, Lord. Father, speak to us. Reassure us that you are here, that you are a God who we can depend on, who is faithful and just and right and loves us. And Father, if we've wandered off that path, we just pray, Lord, that you'll gently restore us, point us in the right direction, so that we, Lord, like the prophets and the people of old, Lord, might walk with you, that we might, Lord, be a people that walk with God. Lord, we just pray all of these things through our Saviour, Jesus Christ. We ask these things in his precious name. Amen. Our final song today is number 892 in your books, Lord for the Years. Lord for the Years, 892. I just remind you that, as you know, we've not been taking an offering up during the Miss Brooke, there are some offering plates at the back of the church if you wish to give to the work here today. Let's just pray. Father, we pray that you might indeed put your spirit in us, in living power, remake us, so that we might be ready to serve and to follow you all the remaining days, Lord, of our lives. Let's say the grace together. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.